This week, Americans took time to remember. Today, we pay tribute to all the remembering with another hour of remembrance and forgetting. Welcome to a memorable edition of Le Show.
From the air, I believe in taking care. Moonshine sparkles in your hair. I believe in being true in everything you try to do. I believe in me and you, and I hope you share my point of view.
Soon, your luggage is checked through. We got inflation licked. I'll get right back to you. It's just a standard form. Tomorrow without fail, Pleased to meet you, thanks a lot, your check is in the mail. Marooned, marooned, marooned in a blizzard of lies. Marooned, marooned, marooned in a blizzard of lies. Your toes and knees aren't all you'll freeze when you're in it up to your thighs. It looks like snow, but you never know when you're marooned in a blizzard of lies. You may have won a prize, won't wrinkle, shrink, or peel. Your secret's safe with me, this is a real good deal. It's finger-licking good, strictly by the book. What's fair is fair, I'll be right there, I am not a crook. Marooned, marooned, marooned in a blizzard of lies. Marooned, marooned, marooned in a blizzard of lies. Better watch your step when your old dog Shep can't even look you in the eyes. You're cold and lost, you're double-crossed when you're marooned in a blizzard of lies. We'll send someone right out, now this won't hurt a bit. He's in a meeting now, the coat's a perfect fit. Strictly fresh today, serve us with a smile. I love you, darling, till I die, we'll keep your name on file. Marooned, marooned, marooned in a blizzard of lies. Marooned, marooned, marooned in a blizzard of lies. Walk on, with hope in your heart, and you're in for a big surprise when you're marooned, 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 marooned in a blizzard of lies, a blizzard of lies.
It's kind of- hard these days to tell the real from the fake. You don't know what's shaking till you give it a shake. Tastes like butter, John. Keep that veggie burger off my plate. That ain't the same stuff I've been eating. I want the beef, man. Give me the real thing. Woo! I don't need no treadmill to go for a walk. Just take a walk around the neighborhood. The neighborhood got to talk. Well, yeah. Give me a cup of that good old black coffee. And I don't want no decaf. Back up on this, because it ain't the same thing. You know what I mean?
Hey, get that veggie burger off my plate. Ladies and gentlemen, from the edge of America, from the home of the homeless, I'm Harry Shearer, welcoming you to this special remembrance edition of the show. You have to drop your voice to say that word, remembering. Sam Donaldson clearing his throat. You ever heard that? Yeah, I have. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we're here to remember. We do that every week, but especially this week, because there's been an epidemic of remembering. And it occurred to me, maybe on the subject, I always used to find it amusing that the most dramatized disease on television was amnesia, because I didn't know anybody who had amnesia. And then it occurred to me this week, I know why television focuses on amnesia. Guilt. Because television causes it. Except when we're remembering. But first, ladies and gentlemen, from the Wall Street Journal, an example of how reporters don't remember. If they can't, how are we supposed to? Now, you know, the hardest thing to remember is that somebody has told you exactly the opposite thing 6 minutes ago, apparently. Because here's from the Wall Street Journal, a long story about ABC television executives diving in up to their knees to get involved in the creative decision-making behind the scenes at the new shows on ABC this fall. Yeah, I know. They think it'll help. Because they're in such trouble, ratings-wise, and they've concluded that a couple of their previous shows could have been bigger hits if only there'd been more network interference. I know we all feel that way. So anyway, here's this paragraph in the middle of this story. Because it leads off ABC's lineup at 8 o'clock on Tuesday, Eight Simple Rules has a lot riding on it. Subsequent Tuesday night offerings will have a better chance of succeeding if Eight Simple Rules clicks with audiences, because viewers tend not to change the dial. That was written in 2002, ladies and gentlemen. This reporter, whoever he or she was, do I have it? Oh, I don't want to point fingers. I'll point a whole hand. How many times have you heard that stuff has to speed up because everybody knows the audience has their thumb on the clicker now? Why didn't they tell this person? Why didn't they tell these people? So either we're constantly nervous and changing the remote all the time, or viewers tend not to change the dial. Or both. They don't remember. Just can't keep it straight. Ladies and gentlemen, speaking of people who can't keep it straight, you've heard about the problems in Miami. Here is a complete, according to the Associated Press, a complete roundup of election problems this week. In Florida, Bay County, minor ballot jams and optical scanners after ballots were read. some machines delivered to the wrong polling places. Broward County. Dozens of poll workers didn't show up. Polls opened late in at least six cities. A Justice Department observer took names of people who left one precinct without voting. Democrats were given Republican ballots, which have no primary in the governor's race. Elderly voters waited more than 3 hours to vote in suburban Miramar. A Hollywood Democrat, this is Florida now, left without voting after a two-hour wait when new touchscreen machines weren't running. Less than a full complement of machines was working in many precincts. Duval County. County officials sued for a 90-minute voting extension in a precinct at a senior center near downtown Jacksonville. It opened 90 minutes late because poll workers didn't realize they were supposed to turn on the machines themselves. Dozens of voters left without casting ballots. County election supervisor John Stafford called the situation unfortunate. A precinct in a predominantly black Jacksonville neighborhood distributed Democratic Party primary ballots to all voters, regardless of party, for the first 25 minutes. At least one Republican left without voting. U.S. Representative Corrine Brown, a black Democrat, tried to call the elections office to report problems, but couldn't get through. Ballots jammed in optical scanning machines due to rough tears at perforated lines. The problem was solved early. A handful of protesters picketed at election headquarters over the lack of voting machines for visually impaired voters. Escambia County. People assigned to new precincts in redistricting went to their old ones. People who moved went to the wrong precincts. Hillsborough County. Election supervisor Pam Iorio calls Governor Jeb Bush's decision to keep precincts open an extra 2 hours a big mistake because she had no uniform way to notify all 353 precincts. Miami-Dade County. Janet Reno sued to extend poll hours by 2 hours in Broward, Duval, Miami-Dade, and Palm Beach counties. More than 500 voters were turned away before machines were activated, nearly 5 hours late. The precinct shut down later and was closed in late afternoon. Some machines were inoperable at 36 precincts at 2 p.m. Machines reset themselves in another Liberty City precinct, routing voters back to the starting screen. Vote machines were activated late in precincts across the county, ranging from affluent to poor black and Hispanic neighborhoods. Voters say they were denied provisional ballots. In predominantly black Carroll City, north of Miami, poll workers demonstrated how to use machines by marking yes on a measure that would repeal the county's gay rights ordinance. Election headquarters had trouble reaching precincts by telephones. We expected problems, said Gisela Salas, the assistant supervisor of elections, but not to this magnitude. Okaloosa County. Republican voters, including many Air Force retirees, were upset by redistricting when they realized they had been moved from a contested congressional district to one with no race. New poll workers didn't realize a metal bar had to be removed from a slot on optical scanners before ballots could be entered. Go to the meetings, guys. Read the memos. The problem was quickly solved. A battery died on one machine and was replaced. Orange County. Election officials plan to recount 42% of precincts. Flaws on two of 64 different ballot cards used in 105 precincts require hand counting because tears made them unreadable on scanning machines. Palm Beach County, some voters left without casting ballots when new ATM-style voting machines couldn't be activated. Some precincts reported problems with electronic cards used to activate touchscreen machines. Backup cards worked. Some poll workers didn't show up. About 150 poll workers quit Sunday. Pasco County, precinct opened a half hour late when custodian arrived late to unlock building. That sounds like a rural county. Volusia County, a redrawn precinct, forced some rural residents near Deltona to vote more than 20 miles from home. Two Oak Hill district races were incorrectly numbered on sample ballots published in newspapers and online. So that's a supposedly complete rundown of how much fun it was to vote in Florida. Florida, come for the climate, stay for the voting. Or for the cocaine. Now, here's an interesting thing. Whom do you believe? This is from the Miami Herald. Staff members at a drug rehabilitation center where Governor Jeb Bush's daughter is undergoing court-ordered treatment reported they found a tiny amount of crack cocaine in her shoe, according to Orlando police. But Noelle Bush was not arrested or charged with a crime. After a treatment center supervisor ordered the staff member who found the drugs Monday night to rip up a sworn statement and throw it away. From the Washington Post. A 2-gram rock of crack cocaine was found inside the shoe of Florida Governor Jeb Bush's 25-year-old daughter by workers at the Central Florida Rehabilitation Center. She was not arrested because witnesses would not give sworn statements, but the incident is under investigation. So either it's a tiny amount, and this, there was a sworn statement and it was thrown away, or it was a 2-gram rock and there were no sworn statements. Ladies and gentlemen, I leave it up to you. I can't solve this one. But memory. Let's get back to our... it's a theme show. Man, I've waited so long for this. Secretary of State Colin Powell on the Yak Shows, the Sunday Yak Shows, ticking off reasons why we need to put the pressure on Iraq now. Iraq invaded Iran, he said, ticking off the beginning of the list of bad things Iraq had done. Iraq invaded Iran in 1980. Did he forget to mention that we encouraged them to do it and that we supplied them with weapons and intelligence? Well, this will help. The U.S. and Britain sold Saddam Hussein the technology materials Iraq needed to develop nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons of mass destruction. Reports by the U.S. Senate's Committee on Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs, which oversees American export policy, reveal that the U.S. under the Reagan and Bush administrations sold materials including anthrax, VX, nerve gas, West Nile, fever germs, and botulism to Iraq until March 1992, as well as germs similar to tuberculosis and pneumonia. Other bacteria sold included Brucellella militensis, which damages major organs, including the Hammond B3, very painful, and Clostridium perfringens, which causes gas gangrene. That doesn't sound nice. Classified U.S. Defense Department documents seen by the Sunday Herald in Glasgow, why would they have this story, show that Britain sold Iraq the drug pralidoxine, an antidote to nerve gas, in March 1992 after the end of the Gulf War. It can be reverse-engineered to create nerve gas. The shipments to Iraq went on even after Saddam Hussein ordered the gassing of the Kurdish town of Halabja. He gassed his own people, said Colin Powell. That's right. In March 1988, a month later, the components and materials of weapons of mass destruction were continuing to arrive in Baghdad from the United States, according to the Senate report. Quote, the United States provided the government of Iraq with dual-use license materials which assisted in the development of Iraqi chemical, biological, and missile system programs. Unquote. Let's attack us. Then we don't need to move troops. Just attack ourselves for helping the bad guy. Skip the middleman, ladies and gentlemen. Always a good idea. Homes and businesses worth $250 billion in Britain are threatened by devastating flooding as global warming takes hold, a new official report concludes. It recommends people will eventually have to give up their cars to avoid catastrophe. You know what? I'll take catastrophe. I like my car. The report will be published by the government's Energy Savings Trust later this week. 5 million people living in 1.8 million homes risk being inundated by rising seas and increased rainfall in the starkest official assessment yet of the human cost of climate change in Britain. 3/5 of the country's best farmland will also be threatened with flooding. The report was given privately to members of the government on Thursday evening. It follows months of intense flooding in Britain and across Europe. The report says the flooding will get worse with global warming, which it describes as, quote, the greatest threat facing the world community, unquote. You know about this, the new Dockers. U.S. jeans maker Levi Strauss denied it was playing on consumer fears by launching a line of Dockers fitted with anti-radiation pockets for cell phones. The lining, the makers say, shields against radiation. Is included in Dockers. Retailers are currently viewing the new line called Icon S-Fit. We're not implying any way that cell phones are dangerous, Levi's European communications manager Cedric Jungpeter told Reuters. Our intention is not to cash in on consumer fears, but to provide consumers with what they want. The finished design was the fruit of extensive market research showing that the fashion conscious were also health conscious, Jungpeter said. Officials from Dockers were not immediately available for comment. They were on their phones. They were in their pants. From the Wall Street Journal, the Elevators of America observed a moment of silence Wednesday. The Muzak company says the many questions it received about its plans for the day were a remarkable testament to the range of our product. On Wednesday, firefighters got a free waffle with their meal in a Waffles for Heroes promotion at participating Waffle Houses. 12 months ago, there was a widespread feeling that making commercial use of a gruesome act of terrorism was in bad taste and would backfire. But there's no such reticence these days. Goodyear invited the mother of a New York City policeman killed in the attacks to help christen its newest blimp. The Game Show Network, after a moment of silence, remained on the air for the rest of Wednesday, when many in a stunned nation, according to the Game Show Network, turned to it for wholesome escapist entertainment. Tupperware, to mark a very poignant anniversary and eager to use its resources to contribute to the greater good, had a global party day. Thousands of Tupperware parties around the world. The greater good being served by the ability of attendees to, quote, celebrate and cherish time with family, friends, and neighbors while buying Tupperware. That is from final note from this article. New Way Medical Incorporated today announced it will discontinue operations of its cigar business to continue the company's transition into the medical field. New Way intends to donate up to 50,000 cigars to New York police officers and U.S. military in commemoration of September 11th. In commemoration, we're killing you with cancer. Have a happy, won't you? All right, ladies and gentlemen, I think we need to, at this point, move to a copyrighted feature. Tales of Airport Security. Remembrance Edition. Are you not changing the dial, or do you have the finger on the remote? Which are you? Harry, this morning I flew from Atlanta to Sacramento with a layover in Houston, where I was selected for a random search. My two carry-on bags were examined, after which I was wanded. Is that a new use that we'll see in the OED? I was wanded. Asked to show the underside of my belt buckle, asked to remove my shoes, which were examined and sent on my way. In all, it seemed a very thorough inspection. Except for one thing, at the start of the inspection, I had unclipped my MP3 player from my belt and placed it on the table in view of the inspector. While the device is small and may have seemed innocent, it was large enough that a hollowed-up replica probably could have been dangerous. My MP3 player was not inspected or commented upon in any way. From Mike. Here's Jeff. He says, since September 11th, 2001, I've flown 3 round trips on American Airlines. On every flight from where I was seated, it appeared that all of the telephones in the seat backs had labels stating the dates that service had been discontinued. On my most recent flights in July and August, the discontinuation dates were after September 11th, 2001. Those telephones were the only communication that the passengers had from the planes used in the 9/11 attacks, although some defied the rules and used their cell phones from the planes. The passengers on Flight 93 learned about the World Trade Center attacks from the seat-back telephones and realized that their plane was part of the plot. Todd Beamer's historic conversation with the GTE operator would not have happened if he had picked up the handset, only to see a service discontinued label. Jeff continues. Recently at San Francisco Airport, my wife's shoes were swabbed and the contents of her carry-on bag poured out on the table and scrutinized, while my backpack containing a digital camera, Walkman radio, electric shaver, and an open bottle of water and a six-pack box of wines from Napa Valley were waved through without question or inspection beyond the x-ray machine. My shoes had much thicker soles than my wife's. Hey, I don't want to get into this marital stuff. And security didn't check them. Anne writes, just came back from vacation on San Juan Island, Washington, just across from Victoria, Canada. No security check at the little Friday Harbor Airport. No security check at Boeing Field in Seattle. So, I'm going to leave the next sentence unread because I don't give people ideas. Although Boeing Field is a private airport, it has some huge planes there. I was not happy, but no one else seems concerned. What is the story about private airports? Asks Anne. And finally, on the subject of airports, although not airport security, Margaret, your thoughts on Margaret writes, your thoughts on changing gates at Heathrow brought forth howls of recognition. Three security checks, employees amused by passenger confusion. Nobody found my manicure scissors. Oh, it is security. As we endured the 40-minute unexpected bus tour of what appeared to be the London sewer system, I glimpsed out the window through layers of swaying standees and dangerous backpacks and saw a spray-painted wall graffiti that said, "Welcome to Hell."
Went to see a movie show. Found myself an empty row. Thought the show was just all right. Same old Saturday night. Then I made the usual stop. Coffee at the coffee shop. Friendly face nowhere in sight. Same old Saturday night. I really thought the papers I bought would help me forget you for a while. Believe me, honey, the funnies weren't funny. They didn't even make me smile. How I wish you'd lift the phone. Fun is fun, but not alone. Till you let me hold you tight. Same old Saturday night. Papers I bought would help me forget you for a while. But believe me, honey, the funnies weren't funny. They didn't even make me smile. How I wish you'd lift that phone. Fun is fun, but not alone. Till you let me hold you tight. Same old Saturday night.
This is Le Show from the Edge of America, and ladies and gentlemen, we were adjured this week to look back, use our memories by proponents of the Bush administration's policy towards Iraq, spokespeople for the Bush administration. And you notice how the spokespeople for the opposing viewpoint have sort of melted into the woodwork lately. You know, it's legitimate. They had 2 weeks of time to state their views. Anyway, the spokespeople for the Bush administration have said, no, this is nothing new, apropos of the issue of timing, because some people have made so bold before heading for the woodwork as to say, well, why now? Why now? Why what now makes this now a thing to do now? Why not 6 months, 12 months, 18 months ago? Why now? They, some of the bolder ones add just before an election, but they kind of whisper that. Unlike the Republicans who used to say wag the dog every time Bill Clinton saluted. It was a funny salute, but anyway, the spokespeople for the administration, in answer to the question why now, have said, no, this is nothing new. go back and look at what George Bush said while he was running for president, and you will see very clearly that he stated a tough line towards Iraq way back when. Ladies and gentlemen, I did what they asked me to do. Unfortunately, I got sidetracked by this comment that George W. Bush made in the Ohio debate, the Ohio the debate preceding the Ohio caucuses, which is very early in the campaign, I admit, when there were still, six guys on stage saying, no, elect me president. Orrin Hatch, President Orrin Hatch, doesn't that sound credible? President Alan Keyes, yeah, it has a certain ring to it. This is George W. Bush from the Iowa debate. Please pay close attention to his last sentence.
My response to the young questioner is this: the office is greater than the occupant. So whoever is elected, and I hope it's one of us, when we put our hand on the Bible, we will swear to uphold the laws of the land, but we will also swear to uphold the honor and the dignity of the office. A president also brings an administration to Washington, D.C. The administration I'll bring is a group of men and women who are focused on what's best for America. Honest men and women, decent men and women, women who will see service to our country as a great privilege and who will not stay in the House.
Women who will not stay in the House, ladies and gentlemen. That's what he promised. Wouldn't you get distracted if you'd... I'll continue my research, though. I promise you that. The rest of the research this week was spent on an issue that we haven't followed up on lately, and it relates to an interesting development. There were, of course, ratings. Now, it's interesting. Why were there ratings for 9/11? We've been told on many an occasion, and I've discussed this with you on the air here, that one of the tricks that networks use to keep parts of programs from not being counted by the ratings is to take the commercials out. If they think that something's going to score low, they'll move the commercials so as to not have that 15-minute or half-hour period counted, because sustaining programming without commercials, doesn't get counted in the ratings. All day 9/11 was without commercials. Why do they have ratings? Why do they count? See what I mean? 2 grams or tiny amount. Anyway, in the ratings for 9/11, CBS scored the highest. And we will get to what they scored highest with in a moment. But it raised the question to me, is something happening over at NBC? You know my longstanding theory. NBC dominates the news ratings, particularly for the primetime, for the evening news, primarily for one reason, because Tom Brokaw says the word tonight more often than anybody else. And that just makes people feel like, oh, it's happening now. So, haven't counted tonight's lately. This is selected at random from a broadcast this week. Tom Brokaw with a current tonight count.
Good evening, tonight from Washington.
Eep.
As NBC's David Gregory reports tonight, Eep. Today the president was working hard to get Canada on board. Thanks, NBC's David Gregory at the White House tonight.
Eep.
NBC's Ron Allen is in Baghdad for us again tonight.
Eep.
Ron? Thanks, NBC's Ron Allen in Baghdad tonight.
Eep.
Tonight,
Eep.
The Arab media and a very different message about Saddam Hussein, President Bush, and the road to war. Still ahead tonight...
Eep.
America remembers September 11th. In depth tonight,
Eep.
Bad weather is making the news tonight.
Eep.
NBC's Roger O'Neill tonight
Eep.
On A Life of Service. And as NBC's Ann Thompson reports tonight,
Eep.
It has been a summer of healing in a setting normally reserved just for fun. I'm Tom Brokaw. I'll see you tomorrow night.
Eep.
How much is too much?
Well, apparently not enough. That was only 12 tonight's. And therefore, theory holds, CBS wins the ratings. It's amazing. I don't understand it. But, ladies and gentlemen, there is a danger when you keep saying tonight, even that many times, let alone the 16 or 17 we used to record in the glory days of NBC Nightly News. And that is the possible lapse into an accidental tonight. This also from this week, Tom Brokaw.
Military leaders are also adding muscle on the northern edge of Iraq. That's a region populated by minority Kurds. It's been caught in the U.S.-Iraqi conflict for more than a decade tonight. more often than not on the losing end. Tonight, we have a rare inside look of Kurdistan.
For a decade tonight. That's got to be an accident. He can't have meant to say that. I'm gonna put money on it. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, yes, CBS did score the highest ratings for primetime in 9/11 with a rebroadcast of a program called 9/11, which was a documentary by two French filmmakers about the experiences of New York City Fire Department employees on the day in question. Now, you can theorize till the cows come home, but that was, in fact, the high. It beat a concert on NBC and another program on ABC. I don't remember what it was. But anyway, that was the highest rated special broadcast on 9/11 was a program called 9/11. Maybe just the sheer obviousness of the title was what attracted people to it. But anyway, it did stimulate some conversation. Maybe a not-so-bad day around Black Rock.
For more information about severe alopecia, go to cbsnews.com. We okay?
Okay, we're clear, everybody. See you tomorrow.
Hold on there, Hoss. Let's not kill the lights here until somebody finds the please don't sit on the anchor chair tarp.
Huh? Oh, don't worry about it, Dan. Well, it's being rushed messengered back from the cleaners as we speak.
Well, fine, because... Hello, Daniel. Brother Pliant, excellent work on 9/11 coverage, sir. I think, all told, we kicked some very respectful butt on that story.
Well, the numbers look pretty good.
Good. Better than a Barber College crew cut, sir. You off the bush bus tonight?
Just finished at the UN, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
Thought I'd stop in and pick up my hate mail.
Come on, Bill. I'll walk out with you.
See you, Dan.
Good job, gentlemen.
I'll tell you this, Brother Rather. The old Nixon crowd could not have been any more controlling or stingy with information than this Bush bunch.
Well, of course, I'm not down there in the trenches anymore. I'm doing 3-notebook reporting in a 2-notebook world, so maybe you're right. It's bad, is it?
Well, you know, on these trips, they don't even tell us what time bag call is going to be, so... You know,
you leaving the building?
Much as I'd love to watch the overnight cast being put together, yes, sir, I am.
Good night, Oliver.
Good night, Mr. Rather. Good night, visitor 85.
Good night.
So, how are you feeling after the siege, Brother Plant?
Pretty darn good, Daniel. How about you? You had, what, 17 straight hours at Ground Zero?
Yes, sir. Sacred ground, hallowed ground. Mm-hmm. But, you look well. You know, tell you Coontail straight, you look as vigorous as the day they first took the bandages off.
Well, actually, Daniel, that day I was still a little puffy, but thanks.
Tell you something, though, William. The public was sending us a message on 9/11 of this year. If we heed it, we may remember September 11th, 2002, as the day that changed television news.
You walking south?
Well, I was going to get a cab, but I can use the exercise.
Nothing beats hitting the streets after a day in the anchor chair, sir. You know, speaking of which, they don't even have a backup please don't sit in the anchor chair tarp anymore.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
You were saying?
Oh yes. Well, we did, all due respect to those who lost somebody in the attack,
of course.
We did very well on our coverage of Remembrance Day.
Who's calling it Remembrance Day? Was that
just calling it 9/11 all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Drains it of meaning, don't you think? Makes it sound like a convenience store. But mark this, please.
Yeah.
What broadcast on our 9/11 schedule scored the biggest rating?
Well, I think it was that documentary we bought from the two French guys about the firemen.
Correction, sir. It was the rerun of that documentary. Book it.
Well, okay, but...
Hey, Dan! You letting it go gray finally?
Yes, sir. Thank you. See, Brother Plant, we've been taking the crown jewels of CBS News, our 24-karat coverage, and pissing them away. One broadcast and it's gone.
No, I wouldn't want to do that with any jewels.
You would not, sir. So, I'm gearing up to have a little powwow with our fearless leader about rerunning the news.
Well, we sell stuff to cable for repackaging, don't we? I see my old pieces every time I fly a commercial. What is it? We're on American. NBC is
That's
on...
That's repurposing. That's old mule stupid and old dog sad hiding our material away on some cable broadcast watched by nobody and anchored by nobody. That helps us as much as a martini helps a heifer, sir. That's not what you do with work you're proud of. But the audience wants to see again. See, you do what we did with that documentary. You just run the tape again.
So you're saying just run the same newscast again? What, on the same day?
Well,
the next day? Wouldn't that just confuse people who tuned in to watch that day's newscast?
Well, all right. And this is just the first squall in the brainstorm. But what about 11:30 that night? Bump Dave back a half hour and go head to head with Ted.
Stan, I loved you talking with the children yesterday.
Thank you. Weren't they amazing?
You didn't do a special talking with children.
It was Jennings, but...
I know. Why break the spell? But, Daniel, management of this network thinks it's a great and noble sacrifice to give 30 minutes a night to the news. Why would they give us 60?
Precisely because the rebroadcast will draw more eyeballs into the tent, and as we both know, that's the only mandate this organization cares about. Their blood in the nostrils focused on getting more eyeballs into the tent. Mark this... Yeah, I wouldn't dare make this argument if we weren't lapping the field in our reportage of a serious world on a joke budget.
I know, and if this network had a cable channel of our own...
As Brother Hewitt and I tried to do...
True, but...
And we were called dreamers, we were called naive...
Yes, but...
We were called...
You were called desperate egotists, as I recall.
We were?
Daniel, I'm kidding. I'm just saying it's easy to rerun something from NBC on MSNBC. That's what it was built for. But,
well, we could rerun it on UPN. The mothership owns that.
Yes. You want the slot before or after wrestling?
Look here, Hoss. I don't know. Rerun our news broadcast on MTV or Nickelodeon, sell them at Blockbuster. I'm just saying this is the synergy we sold our souls for. Let's use it to help get a little bit of our souls back.
I didn't know they had a rebate program for souls, Daniel, but...
This is where my limo is waiting. Hello, Gregory.
Good evening, sir.
Daniel, I thought you liked the exercise.
One block of vigorous walking is all I need to get the batteries recharged, sir. Can I give you a lift?
I need a couple more, Daniel. Have a good night.
You too, sir.
Now signs of life to return. Must have been alright in the last life to be lying here with you. Someone in the last life to get this second chance with you. Must have been alright in the last life. Someone in the last light to get this second chance with you.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a quick correction. The mayor of Newark, Ohio, was arrested on DUI. A listener says, "We who live in New York, Ohio, are embarrassed by his actions and angered by his stupidity. But he was just out and about at a friend's house, a local bar in his home, and then on his way to a restaurant for breakfast when he was stopped by police. The next day, he had a prior scheduled event sponsored by Mothers Against Drunk Drivers. MAD did not sponsor an event where the mayor got drunk." Okay, now, ladies and gentlemen, let me read the trades for you. From Digital TV Magazine, "The Revolution That Wasn't." Of the roughly 70 million TV sets sold to consumers since digital products were introduced in January of 1999, fewer than 200,000 are capable of picking up digital signals over the air. 200,000 out of 70 million. The majority of the 2.7 million in-home digital TVs are high-definition monitors purchased for watching DVDs or gaming, meaning broadcasters are conceivably getting closed out of a window of opportunity to compete against cable with free over-the-air high-definition and multicast services. The revolution that wasn't. And Red Lobster is ditching its two-year-old marketing theme after canning spokesman Chef Ned. It comes even though its Go Overboard campaign scored among the chain's highest in unaided awareness. Ken Mills, Red Lobster's vice president of marketing, said the ads didn't build the brand. "Go Overboard didn't solidify a single core idea to wrap around the brand," said Mr. Mills. "None of our emotional content was coming from the sea." He added, "If Red Lobster is seen as being built on advertising that is fun but predicated on a punchline, I can't go to my menu developer and say, create a dish behind that. I can't go to my facilities group and ask them to design a restaurant around that." Red Lobster is conducting focus groups around the country to better understand what brand attributes best articulate the brand essence. It's called Red Lobster. What's the problem? New creative will ramp up lush seaside imagery as the chain attempts to connect the Red Lobster brand to the emotions people feel when they're near or at the sea. Oh, and finally, ladies and gentlemen, can't resist this. Beginning this month, PBS will offer, this is from the Public Telecommunications newspaper, Current. Beginning this month, PBS will offer monthly pledge specials for use outside the traditional pledge months. The specials, called TOOPs, for Targets of Opportunity Outside of Pledge, are designed to expose viewers to year-round membership pitches. The first national TOOP is Ken Burns' Civil War, slated for broadcast end of this month. Stations not using the TOOPs will air fillers instead of the pledge breaks. The TOOPs are intended to appeal especially to loyal PBS viewers who are likely to respond to regular programming as pledge vehicles. So look out for those TOOPs, ladies and gentlemen. Just a warning that's apropos when I read the trades for you, a copyrighted feature. The revolution that wasn't. And you know what? Doggone it, that's going to put the lid on this edition of the show. The program returns next week at the same time over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network. On shortwave, WBCQ The Planet, 7.415 megahertz, and on your computer, whenever you want it, at two locations, wherever you are around the world, www.harryshearer.com and www.kcrw.com. And it would be just like remembering if you'd agree to join with me then, would you? All righty, thank you very much. Email address for this broadcast is lemail at, L-E-M-A-I-L, of course, at interworld.net. The show internet services by Steve Mack. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through SAS, a service of KCRW Santa Monica, community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless.